Have you ever felt overwhelmed? How about anxious, fearful, or guilt-ridden? Have you ever felt so stressed out that you wanted to crawl into a hole? At times, we've all felt overwhelmed and controlled by the stresses of life. But through the power of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you can put all of those feelings aside and listen to what Jesus has to say. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Jason Balick.
Hello again, this is Jason Balick, and I wanted to do a follow-up message on peace, because I feel like in the last message I didn't develop quite enough this idea that peace brings strength. And also that peace is basically the antidote to fear and also to anger. And I want to talk about that today. And I'm not talking about anger within yourself. I'm talking more about the anger of other people, how peace can be like an antidote for that. And also just how when you bring God's peace into a situation, you bring life to that situation. So again, I just want to talk more about peace today. So I want to start by sharing a personal story with you. I'm a public school high school teacher. For the past 3 school years, I've been a boys basketball coach, specifically a freshman coach, but also part of my responsibility as being a coach is to be one of two assistant varsity coaches. And so the school where I work is a big basketball school. There's a lot of high expectations for the basketball program, and the community, the parents, they expect winning. They expect success. They demand it. And to give you some perspective, this past school year, our varsity team just won the state championship. And so there's like a long, proud tradition of basketball success. So what you should also know is that I personally never played high school basketball. I never played college basketball. I love basketball. And I fell in love with basketball when I was in college, started playing all the time and got myself a lot better. But I never really played any serious organized basketball. So just the fact that I had this position, that I had this job, was totally God's favor. And I know I was just totally at God's right place, at God's right time to get that job. And so just for that alone, I'm totally just grateful for this experience that I've had being a basketball coach. I did it for 3 years, and the first 2 years were extremely hard. I told myself right from the beginning I was going to do it at least 3 years. I wasn't going to just quit no matter how hard it was. I wasn't going to quit after the first year, after the second year, because I wanted to give it 3 years to get a good perspective on it and just see what it was. I wanted to give it a chance, give myself a chance to grow through it. So the first year, again, it was tough. I really did not know what I was doing. I loved basketball. I loved basketball then. I felt like I knew how to play, but it's a big difference between knowing how to play and then knowing how to teach others how to play. And then also getting them to do exactly what you want them to do. It was tough. Our team ended up with a pretty good record. I think we were like 15-3, which I guess sounds pretty respectable, but I had a lot of talent on that team. I had a lot of talent, and I could tell early on that a lot of parents and like community members were not really pleased with how I was utilizing that talent. In fact, in one of our early games, in the midst of the game, like in the fourth quarter, when it was a tight game, one of the parents, I'll never forget this, one of the parents yelled out, a parent, mind you, who's supposed to be ideally supporting our team, hoping that our team's going to win, one of the parents yells out, "You can't coach!" While we're in the middle of the game, I heard it. I internalized it, and it's like, wow, we ended up losing the game. I'm not saying we lost the game because he said that, but we lost the game, and that stuck with me. And a lot of those criticisms, because I started hearing more and more criticisms of the job I was doing, a lot of those criticisms stayed with me. I really took them to heart. And again, that season, we ended up 15-3. We got on like a little streak where we started playing much better and winning games like we should have won them because we had a lot of talent. And so I ended that season, you know, a little bit more hopeful because we started doing better. Second season, I did not have nearly as much talent as I did that first season. I also mainly didn't have as much height. So if you know anything about basketball, you know how important it is to have guys that are tall. We ended up with a really mediocre season. Our record was like 7-9. And once again, I started to really take personally every loss. And I thought about it how if you're a player, when you lose, you can feel like, oh man, we lost. At the same time, you can say to yourself, well, there are four other guys that were playing with me, so it's not totally my fault. You know, because if this guy would have made that shot, or if this guy would have made that pass, if this guy would have stopped that guy defensively, you can kind of share the blame. As a coach, and I know a lot of coaches go through this, as a coach, it's like there's no one else to bounce it off to. You would think maybe you start blaming your players, but as a coach, you don't. You take it personally a lot of times, and you say, man, it's my fault. We lost, and I'm to blame. And I did that to the extreme. That second season, we were 7-9. Every loss, I took really personally. I really took to heart. And I started feeling bad about myself. And I started feeling like, man, I'm not doing a good job. And I know these parents in this community, like they're not, they want me out. They want someone else in there. They don't think I'm good enough. And it got so bad, it got to a point where I just dread it every single game. I dread it every single game. Because if we lost, I know how bad I would feel about myself. But even if we won, I would even have these thoughts that said, like, you know, we should have won by more. And people are going to be upset that we only won by like 3 points when we should have won by at least 20. And also, it didn't really give any relief. All it was, if we did win, and even if we did win by like 20 points, it was just like kind of wiping the sweat from your brow, like, whew, got through this one. Oh, but we got another game in 2 days. Man, I'm nervous. So there was no relief. And when I look back now, I know that I was seeking God. I was really seeking God for what I was doing, but I wasn't totally relying on Him. So I sought Him, and I would, you know, pray things like, God, we need you for this game. Help my team to play well. Help them to play together, and help them to be confident, and just help us. Help us all. But in the midst of the game, I would just allow myself to get really nervous, and I would really focus on that nervousness. And when you think about it, that nervousness I'm talking about is fear. I would allow that fear to creep in, and I would focus on that fear and start allowing thoughts like, man, we might lose this game. Oh, man, you know, this might happen. Oh, man, this person might think this of me if we lose this game. I just allowed fear to creep in, and it was so tough. I was getting sick. I was losing sleep. It just was very, very stressful. So going into the third season, I was also very, very nervous. I was like, man, here we go again. I feel like it was just yesterday when the last year's season ended. Now we're here already. I started to dread it. I started to dread the fact that, man, we got another season coming up. Right before the season started, I got to a point with God. I said to God, God, I can't go through this again. I can't just beat myself up. I can't have that overwhelming stress that just eats me up. I said to God, and I said to myself, I am not going to go out onto that court unless, God, I have your total and absolute peace. I'm going to seek you like I've been doing, but I'm going to seek you in a way where I expect to find you, and I expect your peace to fill me up. I'm not going to allow worry to creep in. I'm going to just seek your peace and not even go out onto the court until I have your peace. And so once the season started, I noticed, first of all, I had some more talent. I had some more height again. I don't think if I compare the talent that third year to that first year, I think the first year's talent was still even better. But this third year, I had a little bit more talent, and also I was blessed with a bunch of guys that worked well together and knew how to become a team. And so I started doing what I said I was going to do and what I was seeking God for. I would talk to my team, they would go out on the court to warm up, and then I would just stay back in the locker room and just seek God. I would seek Him. And I kept coming back to these same verses, which I think I mentioned in my last message. This one verse in particular from Philippians 4, starting with 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I would just repeat those verses over and over again in my little prayer time with God right before the game. And I would just wait. I would just wait on Him. Just thank Him. and just expect for that piece to fill me. Sometimes it would come quicker than other times. And in fact, there was one game, I would do this before the game and at halftime too. There was one game where I had to kind of rip into my players a little bit anyway, because I was a little bit disappointed just with like their effort and what they were doing and how they were playing. So I spent a little bit more time kind of ripping into them. And then, you know, I said, all right, go out there and warm up again. It's halftime. The second half's about to start. They went out and I stayed back and just sought that piece again. And it was taking a little bit longer in it because I was fired up. You know, I was a little bit mad, a little bit angry with my own team. So it just took me a little bit longer to get to that place of rest and of trust and of just allowing God's peace to fill me. And so when I went back onto the court, the game was literally about to start without me. And the refs even said that. Like, the refs had the ball. They were giving it to my players. And I said, we're about to start the game without you. Where were you? I'm like, oh, I'm here. Okay, let's go. The point I'm trying to get to is that God's peace gave me confidence. God's peace gave me strength. There were a lot of games where it wasn't looking good. And I would even then say in the middle of those situations, I would say, God, I've already left this in your hands. I have your peace. Come what may, you are still with me. You are still good. And thank you, God, for filling me with this peace. And don't you know, we finished the season undefeated. Even in all those games where it didn't look good, things changed. All of a sudden, like, my team would get a steal. We'd be on the break, layup, and the foul, hitting clutch foul shots. We won all the games. Last game of the season, went to overtime. And we won, like, right within like the last minute, we went ahead and won the game. So it was an unbelievable season. Freshman team, we went undefeated. Our JV team went undefeated. Varsity team won the state championship. And again, God gets all the glory. And I was filled with his peace. And it taught me such a valuable lesson about how peace really does give you strength. And again, the last message, in the world's eyes, you know, we can picture peace a number of different ways. We can picture peace like you're lying on a hammock on vacation. And like, because everything on the outside has been turned off, now we allow peace to come into our lives. Where really, peace in God's perspective looks like peace in the midst of troubled times. I heard somebody talk once about how there was some art contest where the assignment was draw a picture of peace. And people drew pictures like, you know, someone lying on a hammock, a beautiful sunset. But the winning picture was a picture of some rocky cliff in the middle of a storm with waves crashing in all over the place, lightning striking. And then if you look closely in like the middle of the picture, there's an eagle's nest where the mommy eagle has her wings spread and she's feeding the little baby eagles. And it was a picture of peace. Those baby eagles were not aware of the storm. They were not aware of the waves crashing in. They were aware that their mom was protecting them, giving them their food. They had peace. It's a picture of peace. And so we can also picture peace in the world's perspective in a very weak way. You know, people, I think, will picture like hippies. Peace, man, peace. And they'll picture hippies being like weak, being pushovers. And so it's not common to equate peace with strength. But that's what I want to talk about today, how peace really does bring about strength. And again, it's the antidote to fear and also the antidote to other people's anger. And if you think about it like this, the words fear and trembling often go together.
No, Corbin, you can't. I said when mommy gets home, stop asking.
But anyway, fear and trembling often go together. You're afraid, you tremble. And when you're trembling like that, your thoughts are all over the place. Your thoughts are divided. Your thoughts are scattered. You're not focused. Peace is always, we think of stillness. He leads me by the still waters. He renews my strength. Because when you have peace, when you're kind of still in your mind, be still and know that I am God. When you have that stillness, when you have that peace, you have a quiet focus. And that quiet, single-minded focus brings about strength. And so I want to show you a couple verses that I noticed recently that further developed that point about how peace is often followed by strength in the Bible. Again, the one that's probably people are most familiar with, Psalm 23. He leads me by the still waters. I know the version I have, New Living Translation, they even say he leads me by the peaceful waters. He renews my strength. Peace brings about strength. And there's also a great illustration in Daniel 10, starting with 18. And this is where Daniel, his strength has been sapped. He's overwhelmed by these visions he's been receiving. And so then he says in verse 18, Daniel 10, 18, then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. Peace brings strength. And then another good example is in John 20, 26. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. The doors were locked probably because they're afraid, right? They're afraid of the authorities coming in to get them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them in their midst. Peace be with you, he said. Peace, the first thing that he says. Again, the antidote to fear and the antidote to anger. Let's talk about anger for a minute. So I was reading recently. Well, I've been reading recently. I'm a history teacher. I'm a world history teacher. So I try to stay up with things that are going on. And, you know, if you follow the news, there's all this stuff about the anti-American protests based on this anti-Islam film. But a lot of these protests that you see all around the world, when you watch the video of them, you see a lot of angry people. And then when you can focus on that, when you focus on these people's anger, or if you focus on just an individual, forget about something going on in Egypt. Let's focus on here in America. You deal with someone that's very, very angry. I think there's two natural human responses to someone else's anger. On the one hand, either you get angry because of their anger. Their anger stirs something up in you, like, oh, I don't deserve this. Oh, I'm angry at you now. Which can often obviously lead to physical fights. So that's one response. The other response is fear. You see somebody, you get afraid. And that lines up with the whole fight or flight type thing. You fight when you get angry too. You flight when you're afraid. I think a lot of times we're afraid of people's anger because in a negative sense, again, what you focus on gets bigger. If you're afraid, your focus is all over the place. You're trembling. A lot of times we're afraid because we don't know what to expect. So we think, oh, it could go this way, it could go this way, it could go this way, it could go that way. Our mind is all divided. We don't have focus. We don't have strength. But in like a, let's say a negative sense, when you're angry, you know what you're focused on. You know what you're angry at. And in a natural way, that anger can kind of give you some strength. However, peace is always a more powerful force of strength than anger. And I mean, look all throughout the Gospels. Jesus dealt with some angry people, angry Pharisees especially, that wanted to kill him very often for the things he was saying, for the things he was doing. Did he respond to them by like being afraid? No. Did he respond to them by getting angry back? No. I mean, there's a time he goes through the temple and he's like smashing everything up. That was, you know, they were making his father's house a place of business. But that wasn't him directly responding to somebody's anger. I'm talking about the times when the people were angry, talking about killing him, trying to get him caught in contradiction. He approached those situations with peace, with a stillness that diffused the angry situation. So, again, peace brings strength. Peace brings stillness, brings a focus that allows strength to take place. And getting it back to a sports example, again, I love basketball. And I know the times when I'm playing my best, and I can look back, are the times when I've had that peace, where I'm not anxious or nervous about how the game's going to turn out. I'm not anxious or nervous or having some personal battle going on with some other player. I'm just kind of focused in the moment. Basketball players will use the term like, oh, I'm feeling it. I'm in the zone. When you're in the zone, you have that peace. You're not bothered by the world. I think that's part of the definition I gave in the last message. You're not bothered by the world. You're just in the zone, feeling it. When you have that peace, you have that focus, it gives you strength. That's all I got for this message. So once again, be filled with God's peace, with God's shalom. In the name of Jesus, be strengthened, and God bless. Signing out.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.